This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, May 22nd. Well, last week was brutal, to say the least. We broke down in the wheat space after actually starting a little bit higher for the week. Market had a huge reversal, outside day lower in Kansas City and Minneapolis, and it was pretty much straight down from there. So for the week, front month July, Kansas City lost 53 cents. Minneapolis lost 42 cents. Chicago lost 10. Corn lost 32. Soybeans lost 83 cents. So just a wipeout pretty much across the board. Chicago performing the best. Of course, it had been the weakest performer on the way up. So we're seeing the spreads between KC and Chicago contract pretty quickly. So I think it's pretty safe to say that we have found our seasonal highs in wheat. We're going to work our way lower, likely into harvest, which I would expect would be quick, especially in hard red winter wheat country. So we should see these harvest lows come in earlier than normal. And normally it's right around July 4th, maybe stretching into mid-July. If you get a big spring wheat crop, then and corn and beans are okay. Market usually kind of chops around and takes another push down into spring wheat harvest. This year, I think, at least initially, we probably will find some support around mid-June. And typically, it's around, you know, when the combines are rolling in central Kansas, you tend to carve out your seasonal lows. And again, very little to cut in Texas and Oklahoma, even in southern Kansas. So I would think harvest would move along pretty fast. You're probably not going to see a lot of harvest pressure until you get into maybe northern Kansas, up into Nebraska, where the weather situation has turned dramatically. And it's in time to probably help the crop along a little bit. For the most part, however, I think the trade has been able to zero in on what production will be, at least the high end of production. I think, you know, with the crop tour pretty much, you know, even undercutting what USDA had projected, they were remarking that their yields estimates were probably too high because they had to count even the small plants, the short plants, that probably will be missed by the combines. So I don't think you're going to see any bigger numbers coming out of the plains. If anything, they might be a little bit smaller. But again, as you get into Nebraska, where there was still some time to plump that crop up, it might help offset some of the losses in the south. But I think the bottom line is you're headed into harvest. The market is going to struggle here. You got no help from corn and beans, you know, at least for now. So I think there's still some time for this market to kind of chop around. We've already done quite a bit of damage to the charts and sold off significantly. So, you know, how much more you can go? Probably a little bit more, at least in Kansas City. Chicago seems to be slowing down at the lows that were put in a couple weeks ago. In Minneapolis, I think that market is caught between two different sets of fundamentals. Here in the United States, you would have some support from the poor hard red winter wheat crop. But in the northern plains, we're getting pretty decent moisture, especially across North Dakota. The crop's getting in a little bit late, but North Dakota's been getting some impressive rainfall. So I think the spring wheat crop has a lot of potential here in the U.S. But you cross the border, you don't have to go very far north into the Canadian prairies. It's a much different story. They've been dealing with drought for quite a while, and that's stretching into the spring. Now, they are forecast to get some rain, as much as an inch here over the next few days in some of these dry areas. But, you know, we'll just have to see how that progresses. We're also watching the spring wheat country in Russia. The Urals and the Volga region have been pretty dry over the last few weeks, and that's becoming more of an issue for spring wheat production there. But for Russia, they don't export spring wheat. Yes, it's part of the overall production, but almost all of their exportable supplies come from the southern region, and then it stretches up into the northern central region, where they can draw from if they need to for exportable supplies. This year, they may not need to do that because so far, they look great. The southern region has had plenty of rain. Most of Ukraine has had plenty of rain. So I would expect the Black Sea winter grain production to be quite good. And that's going to, I think, keep a lid on prices, at least from a world perspective. Now, you know, here we are, we're in mid-May, you know, the attention is going to focus clearly to corn and soybeans. And that those two markets, too, have dropped off dramatically. Plantings are ahead of schedule, which is, you know, such a difference from where we were a month ago. Everybody's wringing their hands about planting is getting in late. And here we are, we're way ahead of schedule. That could be good or not. You know, things have dried out quite a bit. We've looked at the last couple weeks of below normal precip in, you know, the heart of the Midwest, Iowa, Illinois, all around those regions, and temperatures increasing. In fact, the 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecasts for the last few days have called for much above normal temperatures right over Iowa, and then kind of shifting north into southern Minnesota. That encompasses most of the northern and middle part of the Midwest. And that heat expands out. It engulfs all of the Midwest. Rainfall patterns have been a little bit on the dry side for much of the Midwest. The eastern Midwest over the next 2 weeks looks dry. The western part of the Midwest looks to maybe catch some of these Central Plains rains. But, you know, you've got increasing temperatures pretty early in the growing season. So while that's helped get the crop seeded, you know, obviously you don't want it to stay warm and dry for very long. And 2 weeks is quite a long time. So we'll see if these forecasts hang around. They've been notably inaccurate, and we'll see some pretty dramatic changes from, you know, one day to the next. So we'll just see how that all plays out. South America, of course, you're into the planting season for winter wheat for Argentina and Australia. Argentina finally seems to have broken the dry pattern, and they're seeing much better moisture situation there. So it should be all right for winter wheat planting. Australia has had pretty decent carryover moisture, but they're slated to turn dry with El Nino starting to show up. That would suggest Australia would be dry, Argentina would be wet, just the opposite of La Nina. And boy, La Nina really lived up to its name this past 3 years, which is a very long La Nina, but it was definitely dry over Argentina and wet over Australia. So we'll see if El Nino has the same kind of performance. And speaking of Argentina, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange estimated that their soybean production will be 21 million tons. That compares to USDA here just a couple weeks ago at 27 million tons. So it looks like we're still going to see a pretty notable drop in USDA's projections over the short term. Taking a look at some of the world FOB offers from Friday, Gulf soft red winter wheat was at $258 a ton. So that was unchanged on the week, even though futures prices were down 10 cents. Hard red winter wheat, $360 a ton, was down 5, even though futures were down 53 cents, which would equate to about a $19 a ton drop. So, you know, seeing some divergence there. Obviously, your basis improving significantly, even though these futures are dropping the way they are. So Ukraine offers at $235 a ton, down 5 on the week. Russia at $245, down 10 on the week. So they're not going to be outdone by Ukraine. Even though they wanted the floor to be $270, they're following Ukraine lower. And, you know, they're still $10 above them, but they've been known recently to be paying some of the freight costs for sale. So they're not going to be outdone by Ukraine of all countries, but even the rest of the region. They want to capture sales. They have a lot of wheat to sell, and they're screaming toward the next harvest. So they're, you know, they've been definitely much more aggressive in their offers. In France, FOB offers are at $252 a ton, which is down 5. Argentina was the only one that was higher. They were up 5 at $330. In corn, Gulf at $245 a ton, that was down 20. PNW at $275, down 15. Ukraine was up 5 at $330. Argentina was at $230, down 5. Brazil at $230, down 10. Soybeans at the Gulf, $515 a ton, down 30. Argentina was at $495, down 30. Brazil at $470, down 20. So Brazil's still pretty discount. They've got quite a few beans apparently left to sell after their record crop, and they're trying to get it done. Still quite a bit discount to U.S. offers. So moving forward, I've got the night session up just a little bit in corn and beans. Wheat is still seeing some pressure. Kansas City leading the way down. So and that's going to be the case, I think, for a while. The market just soared higher. The spreads were just exploding higher. Now you're seeing that contraction. I think KC probably has a little bit more to go. I don't think you're going to see no new lows for the move, even though you're approaching them fairly quickly. Chicago, Minneapolis. I think Minneapolis is just a mixed bag. I think they're going to follow Kansas City pretty much rather than Chicago. Chicago is just slightly below those early May lows, but we've definitely seen a slowdown in the selling there. I think it's just a matter of time. Get through the harvest, get some seasonal lows established here. If these 6 to 10 day forecasts continue to show hot and dry across the Midwest, that just becomes a completely different market. But we've only had a couple days now where it's calling for these kinds of conditions. You've got to stretch that out a little bit. You have to get a little deeper into June before the market's going to get too concerned about that. Because A, the crop was in early, you had decent moisture conditions to start, so it's not like you're going to, beat up the crop right away. It's going to take some time. But it's highly unlikely that you would not have any weather scares in this market, especially after the kind of sell-off that we've already had and the tight supplies worldwide, in particular of corn. Now, Brazil will be harvesting their second season corn crop in June, and most of that will be available in July. So far, it looks pretty good, like a good crop. So that's going to probably keep some sort of pressure on the corn market, at least initially. But soybeans, you've got a huge increase in domestic demand coming at us. If you get that crop into any kind of trouble, I think soybeans lead the way higher, but I don't see corn being left behind. You don't have any corn from Argentina. You can have very little corn from Ukraine. So we, other than Brazil, it's the United States. And I just think that, corn will follow, but I think if you get a weather market, Brazil, or excuse me, soybeans are probably going to be the leader to the upside. But I don't see corn being left behind, especially since you had such a poor hard red winter wheat crop. Demand for feed grain is still going to be high in the cattle feeding areas. They're going to continue to pull corn from the Midwest, and that's going to, I think, put the spook into a lot of cattle producers if you get into weather trouble. So, this is the time of year where the market really starts to pay attention to weather in the Midwest. You got a little shot across the bow of some potential poor weather, but we'll just have to see how these forecasts and the actual weather evolves. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.